The Supreme Court will hear a case today about the free speech rights of public school students. It involves a high school cheerleader who got a little fresh on social media. Justices will consider whether schools can punish students for what they say off campus. Here's NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg.
Today's case was brought by a 14-year-old high school cheerleader named Brandi Levy. A freshman on the junior varsity team, she failed to win a spot on the varsity team for the following year and failed to get the position she wanted on the softball team, too. So that weekend, off campus, frustrated and upset, she took a photo of herself and a friend flipping the bird to the camera. And then she typed the words, "At the center of this dispute," and here we're cleaning this up, "F the school, F softball, F cheer, F everything."
I posted it on my Snapchat, so I was expecting everyone to see it, but I didn't think that I was going to get in trouble because it was only my friends that seen it. And I didn't specifically target anyone or anything.
Those friends, numbered 250, and of course her cheerleader teammates saw it, including the daughter of the cheerleading team coach, who showed the photo to her mother. Brandi was suspended from the cheerleading team for the rest of the year. P.S., she got on the varsity team the following year. But in the meantime, she and her parents challenged the suspension in court, saying that the Mahanoy, Pennsylvania school district had no right to discipline Brandi for her off-campus speech. A federal appeals court agreed. The Supreme Court's landmark decision on student speech dates back to the Vietnam War era. Five students, including 13-year-old Mary Beth Tinker, decided to protest the war by wearing black armbands to their school in Des Moines, Iowa.
"We're not communists, we're Methodists."
As Tinker explained many years later,
"But I really believed in the messages that we had learned in church, which is that peace and love were very important."
The kids were suspended, the ACLU took their case to court, and in 1969, the Supreme Court ruled, for the first time, that students, quote, "do not shed their constitutional rights to freedom of speech or expression at the schoolhouse gate," close quote. The court said that in order to suspend the students, the school would have to reasonably forecast that the speech or expression would cause substantial disruption or material interference with school activities. The court said the school didn't have that justification. Since then, the courts and the schools have struggled to determine when it's okay to discipline kids for speech and when it's not. And the internet has magnified that problem exponentially. In today's case, lawyers from both sides agree that schools are well within their rights when they deal with targeted harassment and bullying. In fact, 47 states require schools to enforce anti-bullying policies. But Brandi Levy's case is the only one in which an appeals court has ruled categorically that a student's off-campus speech is not subject to school discipline. So ultimately, in this case, the Supreme Court is being asked to establish the rules for disciplining student speech in the internet age, and that's no easy task. The Mahanoy School District contends that in the modern world of social media and COVID lockdowns, there's no practical difference between student speech that's disruptive at the school itself and speech outside the school, whether it's across the street from the school or online. Supporting that view is the National School Boards Association, represented by lawyer Gregory Garr.
"When you're talking about online speech, it really doesn't matter, you know, where the student hits send on his or her iPhone or, you know, makes the post, whether it's in the classroom or at a Starbucks across the street from school. The impact of that post is the same."
"No," replies ACLU lawyer Witold Walczek. "That would give the school the right to curb student speech for too many reasons, cultural, political, and religious."
"You're essentially taking the diminished free speech rights that students have in school and pushing them out to their entire lives. They would not have full First Amendment free speech rights anywhere. And that would also interfere with parents' ability and right to direct their children's upbringing."
Garr counters that online speech is the equivalent of a school message board, except that online messages can go to many more students, causing far more disruption at school.
"Schools aren't looking to pick fights schools aren't looking to police speech taking place at students' homes. No matter where the speech happens to originate, schools have a burden to show that it's substantially disruptive and invades the rights of other students.
But lawyer Valchek, representing Brandy Levy, maintains that the rules have become too fuzzy, and that gives schools too much power to censor student speech on important topics that concern them. Were it not for the F-bombs that Brandy Levy let loose on social media that weekend, her speech likely would not have caused such a furor at the school. And she doesn't think she did anything wrong.
That's how 14-year-old teenagers talk. That's how everyone talked then.
Just how the Supreme Court will react is unclear. The conservative court majority is pretty purist about First Amendment rights. It struck down laws meant to limit campaign contributions and laws that make lying about one's military medals a crime and laws that make selling violent video games to kids a crime. On the other hand, when it comes to kids, it's a more authoritarian court. At least one member of the conservative majority, Justice Clarence Thomas, has said that in his view, student speech is not protected at all by the First Amendment. But as lawyer Garr puts it,
this case is basically Mean Girls meets the First Amendment.
Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.